Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk today, believe it or not, I want to talk about the devil. How about that? Last couple of days, last week and a half, I've been romping in the reality of what the church is bringing us, the understanding of the victory and the majesty of Jesus. And the battle that he won, definitively, he's established the kingdom. He's at the right hand of the Father in glory. But he made it clear to us that we're still here in what's called the church militant, right? We're living in the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God has been established in Jesus. He's Lord. It's never going to be, you know, opposed. I mean, it'll be opposed, but it'll never be defeated. And he's already in glory, in total victory. He's untouchable. Those who are in heaven with him in glory, our brothers and sisters who've gone before us, the angels and the rest, they're sharing in what Christ is building to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is sharing. It's flowing from his being. He's the new creation. The new creation is flowing from him. The reality of the scripture has different images of it. We've talked about it yesterday. We talked about human history moving toward a final marriage between the bride, that is the church, those who Christ died for, he shed his blood for, and who the Father's preparing a bride for his Son, who's the ultimate victory, who will share in his love for all eternity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in communion. So that is completely unassailable. It's moving toward its completion. And the mission on the earth of the church is to invite people to this reality. That the church has the power in its message and the graces and the sacraments and the life that she has to be the instrument of this salvation. And really what the church is meant to be is just a absolutely head over heels bride in love with her groom. I mean, in this world, the gospel has different images, you know, that what it means to come into relationship with Jesus is like the man who found a treasure hidden in a field. He found this just spectacular, amazing treasure, and he buries it. Then he goes and gives everything he has to buy that field so he can possess the treasure. And it's, you know, it's the pearl of great price is a similar parable that Jesus taught. And what he's saying is that there's nothing, nothing more valuable than the kingdom and the king who's at the center of the kingdom. God is offering to us the life of the king, union with him. And the parables really show us that it's worth everything to possess it. There's nothing on this earth that even compares. All the gold and all the hills, all the fame, all the honor, friends, everything this world could have doesn't compare at all. That's why the saints are such radical witnesses and such good friends of ours, because they told the truth. They really went radical. They kept believing Jesus. They didn't stop. They didn't plateau. They didn't keep one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world, because they, you know, they didn't want to let go because they might miss out, or, you know, maybe this is not all that true, so I'm going to double dip. I'm going to live in both worlds. I mean, that's really very common. And when we don't take Jesus at his word of his total love for us, his absolute commitment to us, his victory already won that's beginning to share with us, that we can just trust him. We can totally trust him no matter what happens in life. He's going to fulfill and express his love in our lives, and he is going to perfect us in love. He's going to conform us to himself no matter what trials and struggles we face. And so the temptations are for us, friends, is for the enemy, Satan, who's a liar. Jesus called him a murderer. He is just full of deception, and he wants to turn out the lights that God has turned on in your conscience, in your heart, in the church. He wants to shut it down so we live in the fear of being in darkness, not knowing where we are, and we get seduced into his lies. Jesus destroyed him, friends. We ended yesterday's program when Jesus called us his friends. He tells his friends everything. He also tells us about our enemy and that we're in a battle. And he was so honest with us, he made it clear that life on earth, especially if you're united to him, was going to be a battle. It's the church is, in fact, militant. It's in a battle to the end. And Jesus said, the world's going to hate you. Are you feeling it a little bit in our culture these days? On the forces of those who are now defining reality, those who are defining the foundations of life, those who are rejecting God, are you starting to feel the heat a little bit? Well, Jesus told us, if the world hates you, understand it's because it hated me first. And why? Because the whole world is in the power of the devil, St. John says. What's that? That dimension of God's good creation that has fallen. The powers, political, economic, social, volitional, popular, entertainment, all of it, that's set against the Lord. It doesn't have to be, but it chooses to be because it's under the dominion of a counter kingdom that Jesus has disarmed. But I want to just share with you a little bit about what Jesus and the apostles and the recent popes have said about the devil. When he's using the Catechism, paragraph 394, the scripture witnesses to the disastrous influence of the one Jesus calls a murderer from the beginning, who would even try to divert Jesus from the mission received from the Father. Look at John chapter 8, verses 44 and following. He's a liar. He's a murderer. Again, 1 John tells us, chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus come? One of the answers to it? Destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to make war and to bring down the principalities and powers and the kingdom of darkness. Paragraph 413, God did not make death, and he does not delight in death of the living. It was through the devil's envy that death entered the world. Wisdom chapter 1, verse 13. Paragraph 414 of the Catechism, Satan, or the devil, and the other demons are fallen angels who have freely refused to serve God and his plan. Their choice against God is definitive. They try to associate man in their revolt against God. This is a beautiful description in two lines about what's going on in the world. This is really what is going on in the world. Satan and his demons, who are really our only enemies, human beings, no matter how nasty they might be, they're not ultimately my enemy. They're enslaved. They're in darkness. They're made in the image of God, and Jesus came to free them as well. We have to help them see it, turn to him, repent, be baptized, and come into the life of the Lord. So he said, and that means to have mercy on him like Jesus did from the cross when he looked down and he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Again, Satan or the devil and the other demons are fallen angels who have freely refused to serve God and his plan. That's what the enemies of God are. That's a good definition. Those who refuse to serve God and to correspond to and say yes to his plan. Their choice against God is definitive, and that's what will happen, friends, when you die. Our choice for or against God will be definitive at that point. That's why it's crucial now to make this decision. They try to associate man in their revolt against God. So here the recent popes described it this way. Pope Paul said, the devil is the number one enemy, the preeminent tempter. So we know that this dark, disturbing being exists and that he is still at work with his treacherous cunning. He's the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortune in human history. He undermines man's moral equilibrium with his sophistry. He is the malign, clever seducer who knows how to make his way into us through the senses, the imagination, and the libido, through utopian logic, like what's happening in our culture. It's all over the place. Or through disordered social contacts in the give and take of our activities, so that he can bring about in us deviations that are all the more harmful because they seem to conform to our physical and mental makeup and to our profound instinctive aspiration. So he asserts the reality of the devil. You know, there are priests, I mean, the head of the Jesuits, I think, said, you know, that the devil is a symbol. No, he's not a symbol. He's a reality. He's a fallen angel. And scripture is so clear. Nobody talked about it more than Jesus. And now it's being affirmed. Catechism, saints, popes. Pope Paul VI goes on to say, the Christian must be a militant. He must be vigilant and strong. Pope Benedict XVI described it this way. He said, whatever the less discerning theologians may say, I love that, because some theologians are so discerning they don't believe the devil exists. Just because someone's a theologian, friends, doesn't mean they're getting it right. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't you know, there's lots of theologians who do get it right. I'm not trying to put everybody in a particular place, but there's great pressure today in the culture to not believe in the reality of the devil at one level. It says, so whatever the less discerning theologians may say, the devil, as far as Christian belief is concerned, is a puzzling but real, personal, and not merely symbolic presence. He is a powerful reality, the prince of this world, as he's called by the New Testament, which continually reminds us of his existence, a baneful, superhuman freedom directed against God's freedom. This is evident if we look realistically at history, with its abyss of ever new atrocities which cannot be explained by reference to man alone. On his own, man is not the power to oppose Satan, but the devil is not second to God. And united with Jesus, we can be certain of vanquishing him. Christ is God who is near us and willing and able to liberate us. That is why the gospel really is good news, and that is why we must go on proclaiming Christ in those realms of fear and unfreedom. Jesus said, "The devil has no hold on me." When we're trapped in fear and unfreedom, friends, the devil gets a grip on us. If you're baptized into Jesus Christ, and if you're in right relationship with him, and you're saying yes to him and living out the call that he's put in your life and engaging in the sacraments and life of the church and its mission, the devil has no hold on you. Don't let him lie to you or don't let him seduce you. Here's Pope Francis. He said, look out, friends, look out because the devil is present. The devil is here, even in the 21st century. And we mustn't be naive. We must learn from the gospel how to fight against Satan. The presence of the devil is on the first page of the Bible. And the Bible ends as well in the presence of the devil with the victory of God over the devil. There are several ways that Christ has given us to discern the presence of evil, the Pope went on to say, one of which is not to follow the victory of Jesus only halfway. Either you are with me, Jesus says, or you're against me, says Pope Francis. He goes on to say, Jesus came to destroy the devil, to give us the freedom from the enslavement of the devil has over us, that the devil has over us. And this is not exaggerating. This is the Pope's words. And this is not exaggerating. On this point, there are no nuances. There is a battle, and a battle where salvation is at play. Eternal salvation of us all. There is a criteria for watchfulness. We must always be on guard, and on guard against deceit and the seductions of evil. So the recent popes have been so clear to us. I want to talk a little bit more tomorrow about getting free and what the scripture says about it. But bottom line is this, for all those who are in Christ Jesus, the condemnation, the lies, the deceptions of the devil have no place and no authority. You don't have to submit to the habit patterns of sin. You don't have to surrender to him. You just tell the devil, like my mom used to say, she said, I just tell the devil to go back to hell where he belongs. She prayed her rosary twice a day. She read her scripture. She walked in the Lord. She was mighty in the Lord. Every one of us are called to be mighty in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure you aren't opening doors to him. Make sure you're not playing with sin. Make sure you're not, that you're dealing with it. Come into the light. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. But understand, Christ has won the victory over the prince of darkness, and he has no hold over us, even though he prowls around like a roaring lion. So like St. Peter says, resist him, and he will flee from you. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.